I'm going to present to you a few considerations about the design of efficient tablet devices for the computation of pairings, and in particular the tape pairings, possibly the most complex cryptographic primitive, which is of some interest. This is the work that a joint work by myself, a few collaborators of mine in my university, and the research group on cryptography of STM, ST Microelectronics, again in Milano. The talk is organized as a series of case studies, but first, which is the case studies, an introduction, since there has already been a long talk by Dan Bonnet on pairings. I will be very quick on recalling pairings and giving an overview of pairing options, algorithms, and so for computing pairings. Then the state of the art about the computation of pairings, both in software and in hardware. And then the case studies, the methodology that I will use. A quick break to say a couple of words about parallel devices for computing elliptic code cryptography, which in some sense is a predecessor of pairings, and then three case studies concerned with different types of architectures, and then considerations and conclusion. So first of all, on pairing. Well, pairing is a function with two arguments. The two arguments must belong to a group G1, and the image is in a group G2. Since it is used in cryptography, both groups G1 and G2 must have a difficult discrete logarithmic problem. And for this purpose, in cryptography, G1 is usually the group of the points on an elliptic curve of some kind, while G2 is a multiplicative group of a finite field. The important property of the pairing function that is necessary for cryptography is that of being linear with respect to both both arguments. So this is the formulation, and which means that if you take the scalar product of a point on the curve P by n, then it's the same whether n is multiplied times the first argument or the second argument, because the result is the same. This is better viewed in this form, because this is the form that this property is used in cryptography, that you can swap the two integers A and B in the pairing computation, because the result will not change. This is the bilinearity property expressed in a more compact way. And there are several ways for using pairings in cryptography. This is maybe the basic one, the well-known Bonnet-Franklin protocol for identity-based encryption. It's an encryption protocol, and it represents a form of public key cryptography where the public key can be any piece of information attached to the receiver of the message. It's not something that must be computed starting from the private key. So for instance, it can be the identity, the name or the email address of the receiver of the message. And the way the protocol is structured is represented in this picture. In practice, it is a modification of the well-known XML crypto system. There must be a trusted authority TA that fixes an integer, a secret S, and the point P on the curve, and then publishes the point P and the product, the scalar multiplication, the elliptic scalar multiplication, SP. And so S is made public, but not in clear form. It is hidden in the product SP. And then if B must send a message M to A, well, B must decide a random integer R, and then compute the encryption key by using the pairing in this way, and also the scalar product RP, and send the encrypted message V and the product RP to A. And A can decrypt, because A is able to compute the encryption key in a different way, but the result will be the same, so the key will be the same. And this happens because of the bilinear property that was on the previous slide. In practice, the role of the two integers R and S, pfab is equal to sp, are swapped, but the result is the same.
What
so
do you mean by plus and minus here?
Pardon?
You had a multiplicative group. What is M plus?
No, this is just to say that yes, you must use this key to encrypt the message in some way. Yes, if the group is multiplicative, you should multiplicate, of course. So, a quick list of options for computing pairings, and at least for cryptographic purposes. In principle, the pairing could be computed for any type of fields. However, I will focus on these fields because these have received some attention in the literature. So we have examples of computations for the binary fields, polynomials, when represented in standard-based polynomials of, with coefficients 0 and 1, ternary field, polynomials with coefficients minus 1, 0, and 1, and prime field. This one, binary field, has a low hardware complexity. This is slightly more complex, but still not too different from the binary case. While the prime field, the basic operations in the prime field, addition and multiplication, are more complex than in polynomial fields, of course, because they look like integer operations, more similar to integer operations, and they have kernel propagation problems and other things of that kind. There are several definitions of pairings. Bile is the historic definition. It's less efficient than others invented later. Could be used, but it's not very popular. The Tate definition has been conceived specifically for cryptographic purposes. And then there are variations of the Tate definition, eta and eta. However, I will use the algorithms that in practice have gained some popularity in the literature. I won't use the Bile definition, but for the rest I will move between the three. And here is a list of known algorithms for each field type. So for the binary field F to 3M, there is the Quonet algorithm. For the ternary field F3M, this has received some attention because it is possible to formulate the pairing algorithm in closed form. So there are several algorithms, Dousmalé, which is the initial one, and variants, Quon and refined DL, and eta. For different kinds of curves, I won't enter the details of the types of curves that can be used for constructing the group of the points to be used as arguments in the pairing definition. And then for the prime field FP, there are these two algorithms. I must recall anyway that all of them are derivations of the basic Miller algorithm, which is the starting point for the construction of all these algorithms. This may be a still open list, I don't know, maybe mathematicians will add more algorithms in the future. It's still a field of intense research. This is the look of the basic Miller algorithm formulated in FP. I don't want to explain it. It's not my task. I just want to point out a couple of facts about the structure of these of the Miller algorithm and the other ones that are derived from the Miller one. The two inputs are two points of order R on the curve, two points that must be prepared in the appropriate way to be of order R. And the pairing itself is a rational function defined in association with P and computed for the second point Q. However, the algorithm never produces the explicit representation of FP, What the algorithm does is compute indirectly the value of p. So the explicit representation is never exhibited in any point. And the algorithm itself is basically a counter loop with some initialization, and then a counter loop, the counting is given by the number of bits for representing the order of the points, essentially, or something that is related to the number of the bits the order are. And it consists of a doubling and adding step, which in some sense are similar to the doubling and addition step that used by the double and that algorithm for the addition of 2 points on an elliptic curve. And the main statements may have a more or less complex formulation, but in practice this reduces to a series of operations in the base field over which the algorithm itself is defined, in this case FP. And so a few additions in FP, a few multiplications in FP. Then this is just the basic form of the algorithm, can be transformed in several ways, eliminating inversions, introducing various kinds of simplifications, and so on. The algorithm in the basic form is not enclosed form, so it contains the conditional. But in some cases, it is possible to eliminate the conditional, or at least to solve it, to do in such a way that this if is mostly taken or not taken. It depends on the situation. However, the computational content of the loop body is a doubling step and the addition step. So this concludes the review on pairings, and then the state of the art about the computation of pairings, first in software and then of course in hardware. Again, if this list is incomplete, I apologize. So here are a few recent results for the computation of the pairing in software. The time performance here is presented in form normalized for a Pentium 4 platform at a very high clock frequency, 3 GHz, which is a high frequency, for various kinds of fields, binary, ternary, and prime fields. More or less at the same security level. This is the MOV security level, which is a measure of the security equivalence between these algorithms. And this parameter key is the embedding degree. Unfortunately, for computing a pairing, it is generally necessary to move to an extended field, and this is the degree, the minimal degree of the extension. However, when one compares these algorithms, it is advisable to refer to the same field type, because otherwise there are so many arithmetic and programming differences and the comparison is not so clear. In any case, the performance is in the interval 1 microsecond, from 1 microsecond to 10 microseconds. So in software, this is more or less what can be obtained. Maybe there is some very fresh result that improves on this, but I don't think that this list should be checked.
Should be reset.
Yeah.
So it's too fast.
Too fast?
Yeah.
Is it millisecond? No, this is milliseconds,
yeah.
Not microseconds. Yeah. I use more for microseconds. And so this is a table instead for performances that I know in hardware. And again, there are several field types. And the figures here make reference to just one. The figures before, those in software, were related to the entire computation of the pairing. This makes reference only to one iteration of the for loop, because the tape pairing at the end implies an exponentiation, which is a computation different from what is done in the loop body of the middle algorithm. So I prefer to isolate one iteration of the loop body. these figures are in microseconds, and you still see that if the field is binary, performances are higher because this field can be highly optimized in hardware, and performances are lower when one moves to other field types. And these performances, these times, should be multiplied times the number of bits, 239 or 97, 103, and so on, because this is just one iteration of the for loop of the Miller algorithm. And okay, they improve on software, of course, but not too much. One should also take into consideration that the frequency, the clock frequency, is considerably lower than left in software, and so it would be necessary also to adjust the clock frequencies to make a direct comparison with this software. However, there is some improvement, but not terrible, and this is our recent result that improves slightly on the previous comparable ones, these two, 138 versus 500 and 400, more or less. Most of the solutions that you see here exploit parallelism. The circuit, the device that computes one iteration of the Miller algorithm, contains some degree of parallelism. It is not always easy to say to which extent, because the explanations that are given and the reference are not always very clear. It is explained clearly in this case and in this case, and I will return on these cases later when I will give a tighter comparison. So I enter the main part of this talk, which will continue with the three case studies about the design of efficient hardware for the tape pairing. But I first show a few slides dedicated to the methodology. In fact, in order to expose and to exploit reasonably the parallel features of pairing algorithms, it is necessary to resort to scheduling, static scheduling methodologies performed in an automated way, because otherwise the algorithm is too messy, too complex to identify by hand in which way the algorithm could be parallelized in the best way. So I prefer to spend a few words about the kind of scheduling that we will perform and how this can be used for designing various types of alternative architectures for computational pairings. So we want a methodology for exploring whether parallel algorithms are suited to parallel hardware, but not necessarily completely hardware implementation, with reference to a general parallel architecture model, which means in a kind of architecture that contains replicated repeated function units, multiple connections and registers. And then I will give some case studies about these parallelization attempts. This is the model in very general terms. So the architecture is a set of function units, those that are necessary, addition, subtraction, multiplication, and possibly also inversion or root extraction of power, exponentiation. Each is defined over a specific field. And these architectures are connected to a register file by a bundle of buses, so you have replicated connections. And of course, there is a control unit. You can be a state machine or a processor. This is not particularly relevant. I will use a static scheduling approach for analyzing parallel behavior of the pairing. Here is how the idea works. Suppose this, for instance, is a simplified version of the Miller algorithm. There is a loop, and the loop body contains an expression of some complication, the additions and multiplications, then it is necessary to expose the elementary arithmetic operations by introducing temporary variables. The ordering is not important. If this were executed in a serial way, one multiplying unit and one addition unit would suffice with six statements, six control steps. If you schedule, this is as soon as possible scheduling, then the number of steps is only four, number of statements is only four, but we need two multiplier units for executing a scheduled loop. However, usually scheduling is better represented by resorting to dependence graphs in this way, and here is the dependence graph before, and here is the dependence graph after scheduling. In this case, an A subschedule. It is as soon as possible scheduled. And assuming that the time latencies of each operation are one. This is a simple example. Later, I will use real time latencies for the operations, of course. And this is the resulting architecture, containing register file, buses, input and output buses, replicated function units, you see two multipliers. This is a schedule, and the corresponding architecture made with unconstrained resources and unitary latencies, but later I will constrain the resources and use effective and real targets. Now, the real scheduling algorithm that I will use is not, of course, the as soon as possible algorithm that is too naive. I will use a so-called list-based scheduling algorithm, which is in some sense a compromise between ASAP as soon as possible and ELAP as late as possible. The idea is that, first of all, this methodology works for minimizing time in the presence of constrained resources, limited numbers of units and connections. The idea for scheduling is that if the freedom for placing an operation is high, do not rush to schedule now that operation. This means that operations are scheduled progressively until all are done, and preference is given to those that have limited freedom, to those that could be scheduled in a limited time interval. This is a compromise clearly between ASAP and ELAP, and this discipline is heuristic, because the general scheduling problem isn't p-complete, so one has to resort to heuristic, but is proved to be somewhat efficient. And I could start now with the three case studies, but prefer to jump back for 1 second to elliptic curve cryptography, just to mention that some analysis about the possibility of having parallelism in ECC has already been done. For instance, there are two references, and this paper also is concerned with parallelism and has been summarized yesterday. The methodology used is dynamic scheduling, which is different from static scheduling, but still it's the aim is parallelism. So since ECC in some sense is a predecessor of pairing, why not extending parallelism to pairing as well? And this is what I'm going to do. The first case study is related to a dedicated architecture for tape pairing in that kind of field where closed form algorithms exist. And this means that the loop body does not contain conditionals, which is a simplification, of course. This is what we want to do. Take the three algorithms available for that type of field, schedule and analyze performance and cost for several automatically scheduled solutions, and then some evaluation on the FPGA to compare with literature. I think this is obvious. Elementary arithmetic is related to the field F3, minus 101. I will use base field elements of 97 bits or coefficients with this trinomial for representing the base field. These three algorithms work for supersingular curves, and okay, the list of algorithms is here, but I will show results only for this one. I don't have time for the other ones. So first of all, let's count the number of base field operations that are contained in one iteration of the loop of the Dushmali-Ilponen defined Dushmali algorithm. This shows that the number of operations, of important operations, additions, subtractions, and multiplications, is high. So in principle, there should be space for some parallelization. The other operations, cube power and cube root, only play a marginal role. They are not really relevant. And what happens if we schedule the Dushmali loop to start in the ASAP way, so in a naive way, in ideal conditions, with unbounded many function unit and passes, and tail latencies that are all identical, or equal to one, which is to say, no time latency, identical, you can assume zero. And this table shows for each algorithm the number of control steps, and in this part of the table, the variability range, that is the max number, the maximum number of function units beyond which there is no further time latency reduction would not occur anymore. So it's not necessary to have over 18 others function units for the Dushmali loop, because with 19 nothing goes better. And same for multipliers, cube power and cube root. Now this is a very ideal set of conditions, but it shows that there is space for, in principle, there is a good deal of exploitable parallelism because these variability ranges are high. And then we can try to schedule the Dushmali loop in more realistic conditions, which means with addition and subtraction function units, for simplicity, the same unit can do both operations. That work in one clock cycle, is in principle this is possible in that field. Multiplication takes more clock cycles. I have used this kind of function unit, digit serial parallel to parallel way. It is a well-known architecture that processes one of the two factors in group of d bits each group. Typically d may be 4 or 8, something of that. A few bits per group. The remaining operations are not very relevant and not very difficult to compute, so they don't play a significant role. This is the way the ASAP, the Dushmali loop body looks like when it is scheduled in the ASAP way, so it's naive, with unitary latency and unconstrained resources. I just show what an S is, and the schedule can be done by hand, and it's too complicated. But there is an accumulation of operations at the beginning because this is an ASAP schedule, of course, and this is the number of control steps. This would be the same, but for an as late as possible schedule, and now the operations are at the bottom. And this is a list-based schedule with real timings, and it looks like much more unconstrained resources, but real timings, and looks like much more balanced, much more well-balanced than the two, before. For simplicity here, the distance between one control step and the next one is not proportional to the time. Otherwise, the graph would be too difficult to put on display. But the latencies here are the real ones. So multiplication is much longer than addition, but you don't see it in this representation. And it turns out that with the optimal time is reached by using 9 parallel multipliers for others, just one cube group unit and one cube power unit. It all takes 87 clock cycles, this one iteration of the memory loop, and it also needs 35 registers for the temporary variables. This is obtained by running a register allocation procedure. Now, what is possible starting from that from those schedules to analyze several cases, plotting the optimal times or the optimal area times product with reference to an FPGA implementation, of course. For instance, this is a table that lists for each number of multipliers, so we are constraining the number of multipliers, just 1, 2, 3, 4, and so on, lists the combinations of the other function units that allow to obtain the optimal time. And you can see that in principle, for each number of multipliers, there might be two or more combination of other units, but this event is unlikely and never occurs in our case. And you can see that up to, say, 5, 6 multipliers, time drops in a relevant way, and with 6 or 7 multipliers, 90% of the optimum time, which is obtained with 9 multipliers, has been already reached, and it would be not relevant to go on with the number of multipliers. Something similar can be done for the AT product. This table lists the optimal combinations with respect to the AT product. The minimum is with 5 multipliers, which is in good agreement with the previous result. Clearly, the time in this case is not optimal because we are optimizing AT, not T alone. And these are the percentage increments with respect to the minimum. And here is the curve plotted. The optimum 80 is for C5 multipliers, as you see in the table. So it's possible to draw many graphs of this kind. However, this is a table that shows a comparison of an implementation of one of our optimal schedules for the Dusmalli loop, and the comparison with the known literature results for the same field and the same algorithm. This solution is parallel, but is handmade parallelism, and you see the number of multipliers is very high compared to what is really necessary, and in fact the structure is large in terms of FPGA elements. The time is close to the optimal one, but the size is too large. This solution is a serial solution, no parallelism here at all. And it's smaller, considerably smaller, but also longer. One takes longer, one order of magnitude, more or less. It is also interesting to know that most of the space on the FPGA is actually used by registers and connections, 41%. So it would be advisable to try to constrain also the number of resources and skip the considerations, and we'll do that at the end. And this means moving to an architecture of this kind, which is similar to the general model before, but now there is a bound on the number of connections, for instance, only 2 input buses from registers to function units, and only 1 output bus, or 1 and 1, or even only 1, both for reading and writing. And what happens if we constrain the number of buses? Well, this is the analysis of the Dusmalli algorithm, again, the field, the ternary field F3M, with the same kind of function units as before. And here you see the timings coming from the previous table. So with unlimited connections, and the same with limited connections, three buses in this case. And you see, there is no real significant slowdown, 20% or so. So the role of connection is somewhat marginal. And the interest is that this kind of architecture is clearly much more standard than the previous ones, because this is the type of structure that you find in every processor, more or less, in every general purpose processor. So this structure can be used to run several types of algorithms, finding a compromise in the number of function units, of replicated function units, to introduce in the structure. There is a third case, which I am very short of time. I want to show the idea. Complete explanation is in the slides. We've also tried to use the same methodology for designing a parallel implementation on a reconfigurable parallel programmable architecture. This means a network on a chip, a set of nodes, programmable processors, implemented on a single chip with some interconnection network. These architectures are gaining some popularity because it is possible to integrate several nodes, if the nodes are enough simple, say from 10 to 100, on a single chip. Each node has a local program memory and a set of connections, more or less reconfigurable, to let the nodes talk to each other, of course. And what we have actually done is trying an implementation of a parallel version of a pairing algorithm on this chip, the SP fabric by ST, which is a chip that looks like, as you see here, it's a set of 64 nodes in the top case, or less, 32, 16, and so. Each node is a simple processor. The structure is hierarchical. Clusters of four nodes are fully interconnected, and the connection between clusters are not complete. There are limitations, however, it is possible to have some parallelism also in the high level connections in the hierarchy. Each node is actually a very simple processor, working off data of 32 bits, with a local memory containing a small program and a few registers and a few function units, 30 units, additional applications, and so on. The idea for implementing implementing a pairing on that kind of chip, which is also known as standard architecture, is that of realizing parallelism at two levels. First, schedule each operation in the base field, additional multiplication, as if it were a software function unit. This means a routine running on some nodes, more or less internally parallel. We do this manually because compilers cannot do so. So we have routines for parallel computation of addition and multiplication. And then once the routines are designed and their latency is known, use scheduling, static scheduling methodology for implementing the entire algorithm on a set of nodes, say some tens of nodes. I skip the details about the routines, and this is again a figure to show that the Miller algorithm in FP, which we have used as an example, contains a good deal of parallelism, even in ideal conditions, but this also when the real latencies are used. Here is a Pareto AT diagram to show the results, some results. Area is measured in this case as the number of nodes, and time is the number of clock cycles to compute the entire Dousmalian algorithm, not just one loop iteration. Pareto diagram means that if two points are on the same row or on the same column, remove those that have non-optimal time or are, and just leave those that have optimal air or optimal team. So here there is plenty of solutions, but we only see the frontier. And for instance, there is an optimal point with 64 nodes. It is possible to compute the pairing 1 million cycles, and then of course performance decreases and the number of nodes goes down. To compare, we make a comparison with this strong arm implementation on the same kind of field and size. And what you see, maybe not surprising, is that the tile architecture requires 1 million clock cycles, arm 60 million clock cycles, but we use 64 nodes. This, however, means that the level of parallelism is high and the nodes are exploited in a significant way. If one refers to FPGA, then this is the performance span. Say that FPGA is 1, then the FIFAB is from 10 times to 100 times slower, and ARM is from 1,000 to 10,000 times slower. So let's come to the overall conclusions. Well, this was an exploration of some possible, not always complete implementations of the pairing algorithm in several different conditions, different architectures, different fields, different algorithms. And in all cases, it shows that there is a good level of intrinsic parallelism in the algorithm, and this feature is stable, it does not depend on the border conditions. So, parallelism is better exposed at the level of the operations in the base field. It is difficult to identify parallelism at high level. One has to go down to the details of the implementation of the function units. And for doing so, it is necessary to resort to formalization and automation, as I've shown. There are several technological options available for comparing compute pairings, and not only because at least some of these architectures could do for elliptic cryptography as well, at least when the field sizes are more or less comparable. And so if one wants a really efficient high-end hardware for pairings, this seems to be a research worthy of pushing. Okay, and this is a conclusion. Thank you for your attention.